Worship is a time when we can set aside our worldly thoughts and activities and turn our attention solely to God, the one who created us good. So I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship so that we might join together in faith. Jesus Christ, the crucified Lord, calls us to believe the good news of salvation. His grace is sufficient for us. Let us enter into God's new realm, rejoicing not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is on the song sheet, Gather Us In. Threats to life pierce us and cause us to doubt God's love. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, let us confess our sins and receive new life. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Forgive us the sins of our youth and the sins of our age and the sins of our soul and the sins of our body, our secret and our whispering sins, our presumptuous and our careless sins, the sins we have done to please ourselves, and the sins we have done to please others. Forgive us the sins we know, and the sins we know not. Forgive them, O Lord. Forgive them all because of your great goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the river of God's mercy runs deeper and wider than our sin. God removes our sins as far as the heavens are above the earth. Beloved in the risen Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, with this good news ringing in our hearts, let us share the peace with one another, the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Please share that with one another. Will you pray with me? Oh, good and gracious God, you gave us life. You called us from death into life. And you gave us your word that we may know how best to live the life you gave us. We ask that you now open our ears to that word. Allow it to seep into our hearts and energize us so that we may go out into the world to live according to your word. We pray this in God's name and in Jesus' name and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to catch up a little bit with Ephesians. This is the letter that we're going to be reading this summer, and I do believe I'm preaching on it pretty much the rest of the summer. So we're going to kick back to last week when Ephesians 1 was read, and then we're going to read Ephesians 2 in a moment. Listen now, for God's word to God's people is written by Paul the Apostle to the church in Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we also have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption of God's own people to the praise of his glory. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Our second reading, as I mentioned, will also come from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Listen now for how we are one in Christ. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, being aliens from the common, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are the citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Thanks be to God for God's word to us. Amen. Will it never end? Will it never end? The anger and animosity, all this divisiveness, it's exhausting, and it feels as though it will not end. I wonder if Paul felt this way when he wrote the church in Ephesus. Hard to say. After all, his words and his tone are quite pastoral. Yes, he reminds these new Christians that they weren't always Jesus' followers. They weren't even members of Jesus' Jewish family. So many Jews saw them as aliens, and this was problematic. Yet Leviticus 19:34 declares, "The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself." But that certainly wasn't the way life always went. Often foreigners were only allowed partial inclusion in community life, especially before the Babylonian exile. But sensibilities changed somewhat after they returned home. After experiencing life as aliens themselves, more laws were put into place that were more inclusive of anyone from other lands who now lived among them. But for the majority of Hebrews, aliens were still without God. And that fact became a steep dividing wall between these different peoples. And it's with that idea Paul uses the word atheos in verse 15 of this text. Atheos is Greek for atheist, one who does not have God in one's life. And over time, the word became a verbal wall littered with the barbed wire of antagonism and hostility. Tempers flared, fighting words shouted, swords drawn. What is it about people that we separate ourselves from others? Not necessarily because of life-threatening or unethical actions, but because of our faith or lack thereof. Even now, folks gather with their cronies and gossip behind their hands about someone's different beliefs. We may merely call someone a heretic against our beliefs, but even that seemingly innocuous word has the weight and size of a large stone, which, when added to others like it, builds dividing walls ever higher. You know, out in Las Vegas, where my sis lives, a good number of housing developments are surrounded by 7-foot-high walls. Yeah, they keep the dirt out, sort of. You know, the wind blows the dust. But really, the purpose is to keep others out. And the more expensive neighborhoods even have guards at the entries. That way, only certain people can get in. We all want to feel safe in our homes. And we all prefer socializing with people who are a lot like ourselves. That's a pretty normal human way of life. I'm not saying it's bad. It's more comfortable to not have to be on guard against saying or doing something that the person next door will take offense over. However, for better or for worse, God has not created anyone else exactly like anyone else. We were all given different sensitivities and ways of understanding the world that makes it impossible for any of us to be just like anybody else. So we build walls. It isn't just in this country. It seems as if the whole world builds walls. The Berlin Wall separated families from one another for nearly 30 years. And Israel has constructed almost 300 miles of concrete walls as a barricade between themselves and the Palestinian people. And that thing, I can tell you for a fact, it is roughly 26 feet tall and is as much as 10 feet wide in some places. And often, it's topped with razor wire. Now that is a wall. And while there really isn't a wall per se across Korea, the demilitarized zone is an invisible divide. I suppose you could say that good walls make good neighbors. That idea was brought out in Robert Frost's poem, Mending Walls, where two neighbors get together each spring to mend the stone walls between their properties that have fallen apart during the winter. And the one neighbor keeps saying, good walls make good neighbors. Even kids know that walls can have value. You might remember when yours had to share a room and one of them put a string down the middle saying, you keep your stuff there and I'll keep mine here and we won't have any problems. I see you smiling, Anna. A fair number of adults also tend to think walls help keep peace among neighbors. We feel we need boundaries for self-protection and to keep people from interfering with one another's lives. But friends, walls keep us apart. So how can peace come into the world when people wall others out so they don't have to talk to each other about their concerns? Doesn't this lack of engagement exemplify any relationship's ultimate brokenness? Seeing how broken human beings are, though, God created a few walls as peacekeeping fences. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife or his animals or his slaves. These thou shalts are in part designed to keep peace between people. No doubt that is a good thing. And today we also value personal boundaries, which are walls of another sort. Pastors are taught to keep our distance in our relationships with church members. Teachers and pastors, too, are taught to never, ever be in a room alone with a child, much less touch a child when we are alone. Some rules can help us. That's obvious. But they still do not heal relationships. And when we are divided against each other, we are also divided from our God, the one who created us good and continues to care for us even though in hostility, dislike, even prejudice and hatred, we alienate ourselves from one another when we fail to totally agree on matters of faith. Given our determination to separate ourselves this way, I cannot imagine why God has not turned from us. Yet Paul writes this to his readers in Ephesus: thanks to Christ Jesus, you who were once so far away, that is the Gentiles, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barriers of hatred that divide us. Christ gave his body, his life, up for our sake, broken though we are. And if those words do not open a person's heart to the awe of his grace-filled glory, I do not know what will. Think of it. Because of Jesus Christ, the walls of anger, animosity, and divisiveness have been brought down, demolished. Those who had not been born Jews had become believers, along with those who were born Jews, were now to be as one body in his spirit. There's a communion hymn that we sometimes sing. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. Paul went on to declare that these two peoples were no longer strangers or aliens, but fellow members of God's household. Christ had united what was once separated, and that goes far beyond tolerance or a truce called in times of open war. Through his death, Jesus has made peace with God for all humankind, whom God calls in faith. Jesus himself has become our peace. So, you know, there were a number of divisive issues brought to the floor of the General Assembly. One big one was whether or not to shed our financial investments in companies that obtain most of their profits from the development and production of fossil fuels. Another was whether or not presbyteries should question ministry candidates about their commitment to inclusion of people not always welcomed by many in society. There was also the question of whether or not we should revise our way of distributing the monies that we collect through One Great Hour of Sharing and the Christmas Joy Offering. There were strong proponents and equally strong advocates for keeping things as they are on that one. But being faithful Presbyterians, speakers did not use inflammatory or provocative language. No one even commented about how terrible or ludicrous a given overture was. Every word was respectful of all present, regardless of their beliefs. And we listened carefully, prayerfully, for each speaker's intent, be it pro or con. Now, that's not to say that faith and passions were not obvious. As you might expect, the young adult advisors in attendance were among the most vocal and passionate speakers on the floor. These 18 to 23-year-olds spoke faithfully, knowledgeably, and eloquently when they came to the microphones. And on more than one occasion, their words brought tears of joy and hope to my eyes. My friends, the church we've known these last 50 years or so will soon no longer exist. But as these young people become our faith leaders, the church will continue in spirit and in health. And here's one thing that those young adults taught me, that even in the most contentious of times, when we choose to remove the stones of the walls we've built around ourselves and speak calmly and listen to each other, connections will take root. And relationships will grow. I found that even when I might not have agreed with someone's point, we could be reconciled and live peacefully with one another. We even danced the electric slide together a couple of times when our computer technology went down throughout the room. Pretty amazing. But the adults, didn't always agree with the youth, let alone agree with each other. But by prayerfully speaking and listening in this stressful, yet calm and respectful setting, The body came to consensus on nearly all of the many, many overtures laid before us. Think of it. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the walls of anger, animosity, and divisiveness were never built high enough to separate us from one another's hearts or from the heart of Jesus. The reconciliation that Christ himself brought into the world was among us. He was our peace. In so many ways, on so many issues, not just this church, but this country has become more divided than we've ever seen it. But Paul's letter to the Ephesians here reminds us that as Christ's modern-day followers, we too have been called to grow into a dwelling place for God. If we take his words to heart, those who have faith in Christ are no longer strangers and aliens to one another, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We may not always agree with one another on faith matters, and quite frankly, everything, all issues of this world, are truly faith matters. But together, we're to become God's dwelling place. That means we're to act with respect and as God's ambassadors to all people, no matter their ideas about fossil fuels or LGBTQIA questions or whatever else. We are to live as though peace was already here. For indeed, because of Jesus Christ, reconciliation is no longer a dream in this broken world. In Christ, peace has already broken forth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you stand as you are able to speak with me the words which we believe, the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, Holy Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven, and third day he rose again. Descended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing and pull up that song sheet again, for I love to tell the story, for indeed we do. Let us gather our hearts together and lift them as one unto the Lord in prayer. Oh, amazing Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful day, the soft summer breezes, the blue skies. We thank you for the spotted fawns nestled in long grass here in the churchyard. We thank you for families who care for us in times of sickness, as well as in times of health, and friends who laugh and play and sometimes cry with us. We especially thank you for your Son Jesus, who you sent to guide us in our daily lives and to show us the incredible depth of your loving forgiveness. We pray for your church, your body on earth. Guide us to become your home, your dwelling place, and guide us so that we might seek to live as you would have us and lead us to provide from our gifts for the needs of others. We especially pray for the Buffalo and Ricksmill churches as they begin a new way of life by sharing one pastor to preach for them and offer them pastoral care while they still remain their own congregations. We ask you to strengthen the pastor to serve you well, and we ask that you fill these two church bodies with the flames of your Holy Spirit so they might truly serve you in their communities and in the world. We pray for our leaders, the leaders of the world. Guide them so they might govern their people with wisdom and a strength grounded in your laws and your mercy. We pray for those who are weary from hard labor, especially those who are not fairly paid, work in dangerous places like I-70 through Zanesville, or are trapped in sexual slavery. We ask that you break the yokes of oppression and the bonds of bitterness. We lift up to you those who serve on behalf of others, especially those who care for the sick, the elderly, and the dying, those who fight fires, those who enforce just laws and or serve in the military, for those who hold public office. Build them up in peace and in freedom. We pray for ourselves that we will be faithful, especially in times of temptation and divisiveness, that our diseases and weak frames will be healed, so we will have the strength to serve others. We pray especially for Dave and Elva, the Keys, Betty, Merle, the Hickses, the Sayers, Dawn, Denise, Pat, Mary, Kathy and Bob, Sally, and all those we hold silently in our hearts. Comfort them all as they journey through life, O God, for they are good and faithful servants in your name. Now, O Lord, we ask that you hear us as we pray together the words your Son, Jesus, our Lord, taught the 12 so long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As usual, the song sheets from the other two hymns, if you would put those on the table in the narthex, I would appreciate that. Please join me with hymn number 281 and stand and sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Brothers and sisters, none of us are exactly alike. None of us have the same views of faith. And there are plenty of opportunities for us to be divided one against another. And yet Paul has invited us to listen to one another, to speak calmly with one another, to honor one another so that we might become one body in Christ. One body. We are to become the dwelling place of God in this way. It's not easy, especially in these times. But I believe and I pray that each of us has the capacity to go out into the world as Jesus' disciple, to show the world the way that God would have us live. So go out into the world in peace, and go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit that draws us together as one body goes with you each day, now and forever. Amen.
Still.